great. I was like the one white guy in this all, you know, this big area. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. And there's some really neat Christians there. So I just, I was actually working at a church in town, Goleta Valley Church, which actually meets on the same street as Goleta Valley Junior High. But I recently stepped down a year ago because they got a new pastor in there who kind of wanted to change things up. And I was actually doing music there and speaking occasionally. So it wasn't a lot, but like a little bit. So I'd speak maybe like 3 or 4 times a year. I don't consider myself very good at it, but I just love to do it, you know. I like to be up here anyway, and it gives me a really great week in the Word, which is really great. And how can you beat that? So, if you have your Bibles with you, or actually I have the text up there, today we're starting Moving Faithfully Forward, and it's Joshua 1:1-9. And there's just some just really, really solid points in here. So if you want to turn there. And I'm going to read out of the NASB. So it said, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it, from the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then it will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's just pray again. Lord, just open up this text to us, Lord. We just pray that as we look at it, we just see things here that you want us to see. Lord, things that were applicable for Joshua and the nation of Israel, but also applicable to us in our lives, Lord. So we just thank you again for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, first thing, when you look at it, in all this set of 9 verses, is that God gives the plan, right? Which is very often what you see in Scripture. God lays out the plan for his people. Now, we know the first thing that happened was that basically the event that triggered this whole thing was the death of Moses, right? Moses had been basically with them, and Joshua had grown up under Moses' lead. So Moses was his leader, and he got to see what was going on, be mentored by Moses personally. And now it was Joshua's turn. So Moses is now dead. Therefore, God says, "Arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this vast nation of Israel, to the land that I am going to give them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses." So the end of an era was taking place. The Moses era had come to an end. Joshua was taking up the reins. God said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to cross the Jordan and go to the land that I am giving you." So that's the first thing. God gave the plan. So remember, just kind of a quick background, what happened was Moses wasn't allowed to enter the promised land, even though he was originally the chosen leader, and that was because of his situation with the rock. Remember, he had hit the rock, water came out, but he didn't appropriately give glory to the Lord for that occasion, and so God anointed Joshua to do this. So it ended up that Joshua, the time is right for that actually to take place and Joshua to do it. So the first thing that happens is he calls us, verse 1 and 2. Then he empowers Joshua. He said, "Every place where the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you, just as I have spoken to Moses." So secondly, he empowers him. He says, "All this is yours." And thirdly, we see that his blessings are great. That's a pretty amazing promise when you think about every place that your foot treads I have given, I will give to you. You know, all the people groups that were still within the promised land, they were still there. It wasn't just automatically taken care of. But God said, if you take it, every place that you go, I will give it to you. It is basically yours for the taking. Which really brings up a really great principle in life. Does God just give us everything we need? He doesn't. He can if he wants to. He can just say, hey, here's all the blessings coming straight to you. All you have to do is sit in the couch, sit in the chair, and everything's going to come your way. But he doesn't do that. He says, I have really, really great plans for you, just amazing plans for you. But you have to actually go out and do it. You have to take the land. You have to actually have your foot tread on the place that I give you. And then you can take it. Then it'll be yours. Remember, originally, when the spies went in to search out the land, what caused them not to come back with a good report? It was basically the fear, right? They said, no, there's giants in the land. We're not going to be able to take over this land. So he said, every place your foot treads, I will give to you. Just make sure to go over it. So God will give them those things. So he calls, he empowers, his blessings are great. I have a map up there of what God's promise to them was. Yeah, and that, it's a little hard to see, but the modern Israel is in the blue, and then in the red is the land promised to the Israelites under Joshua, which was more than twice of what modern Israel was. So the land was vast, it was huge. It was a very large landmass. So God's blessings are great. He had an amazing, vast land. He said, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, because they were in the wilderness, as far as the great river, which is Euphrates, which comes in the north, all the land of the Hittites, which is a force to be reckoned with, as far as the great sea, which is the Mediterranean on the left there, all of that whole region is going to be yours. Everywhere with this, where the great sea is toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. So you can imagine that's like the first thing he basically says. It's basically the calling. It's the plan. This is what you're meant to do. I'm not only is the plan here, but I'm going to empower you to do this. I'm going to give you strength to do this. Joshua was probably thinking of many things, but God empowered Moses in many ways during Joshua's time there with Moses. And so he probably thought, you know what? God's going to be faithful in this because he was faithful in all these other areas. For example, in Exodus 13, God led the people out of Egypt, empowered Moses to do that. Exodus 14, Moses parted the Red Sea. Exodus 14, 26, he closed the waters so the Egyptians died. We all remember that. Exodus 16, God answered Moses' plea and sent manna from heaven. Remember in the wilderness when everyone needed food. Exodus 17, he empowers Moses to hit the rock so water would come out and they could quench their thirst. Exodus 18, he empowered Jethro to help counsel Moses concerning leadership. Because remember, it was too much for Moses all at once, and so he needed to empower. Jethro actually helped him in the dividing up of the way it was going to be, leadership was going to take place. And then Exodus 20, he provided the Ten Commandments to Moses. And so Joshua firsthand saw all the things that God had done with Moses. And so this is one of the ways he empowers him. He says, just like what happened with Moses, it's going to happen with you. You're going to go in, and every place that your foot treads, you're going to take. And my blessings, again, are vast for you. It's over 60,000 square miles, so it's a lot of land, which is double today's Israel. So basically, a point to get out of that is, what is God calling you to take over? What land is God having for you to take over in your life? And maybe like a lot of us are at a crossroads, finishing school, going into a career, choosing majors, buying a house. I don't know. There's lots of different areas that God is calling you into. And he's making the plan clear to you. He's just saying you just need to take it. You just got to go after it and take it. There's a couple areas where God, in my life, where God made the plan very clear. After college, I went to Westmont College. And then after graduating, I didn't know what to do next, so I applied to two different seminaries because I knew I wanted to go on and do some seminary work. And so I ended up applying to Biola, a Talbot seminary, and then also Moody Seminary in Chicago, which are two good ones. They're both really good. And I was praying, Lord, make the opportunity clear. I don't know what to do. You know, should I go to Moody, you know, or it's cheaper? Should I go to Talbot? It's closer to home. And I wasn't really sure. I was wrestling with it, you know, just trying to figure out what God had for me. And then, you know, Moody didn't really write me back after I applied right away. And Talbot wrote me back, and they said, it was really interesting. The letter they wrote was like, there's a reference down here that recommended you help lead student ministries, which is an undergrad department. And if you lead the student ministries, it'll pay a stipend for your schooling. So it actually pays for the tuition for Talbot. And so it was like this opportunity was just like right there. So I went down and I interviewed, and I got the job with the student ministries department. And so it seemed like a pretty clear choice, you know. But I remember having a lot of fear just at that moment. I was like, do I really want to go into ministry? Because my major was communication studies, and I wasn't sure, but I was kind of wrestling with that still. But the opportunity was clear, and so I basically took the land. In my life, I took what God wanted me to do. I went down there, and I basically completed a 5-year degree in MA theology down there, which was great. But it really just came to mind that I had to do that. You know, it was an opportunity that was just sitting there that I could have easily passed up. That God said, Peter, in your life, this is the next step for you. This is what I want you to take. So just, what is it for you? Is it a major maybe you're picking? Is it some kind of job, internship, career? Maybe God is laying something on your heart, a next step for you, which is an important thing. Well, after seminary, God actually brought me back here, which is kind of interesting. During my seminary time, I was down there working at Rolland Heights Christian Community Church. So I was working there for many years, and then I came back here and took a job at Calvary Chapel Goleta. So many of you, I'm sure, know Calvary Chapel off Garden Street. They had a little church plant at the Elks Lodge in Goleta, and so I was working out there, and then for a little while, and that job actually ended. And then another job came up working at Goleta Valley Church, which is where I was working for the last 7 years. And so God provided all these opportunities all along the way, but I had to be courageous, and I had to take what God had put in front of me. So that's really my second. So the first point is the plan. The second point was the attitude while executing the plan, and that is just basically having courage, right? Courage to do those things. Now, it says in verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses commanded. And then again in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. So he basically told them three times to have courage, right? So that was a really important thing for God. And he basically was making sure Joshua knew, this that I'm about to give you is going to take some courage. I really like David Guzik, who was the pastor of Calvary Chapel. About that verse, he said, Joshua is called to boldness in God, which exposes Joshua's weakness. There was a need for such a command because even a great leader like Joshua needed such encouragement. So it took a lot of courage. God loves it when his people have courage, not because they have courage or confidence in their own abilities, but because they have confidence in him. And that's really the key thing. Many of us are talented in this room, but it's really that God is so great that he's going to make anything happen. It's not that we're so amazing in ourselves. It's because he's so great. He's the one doing all the work. In fact, that's one of the reasons I like to preach, and I take the opportunities when they kind of come up. For me, is because I don't really consider myself a very good speaker. Some people have very like logical trains of thought. I'm a little bit scattered, you know, and I tend to not seek places in front of people to speak. But it takes a lot of courage for me, and I feel like it's something that God says, this is some land you can take wherever you go, even though it's something you're not naturally good at, or you know, maybe you're not naturally gifted at, it's an opportunity that I'm gonna have you so you can take the land and kind of conquer this area in your life. So it takes courage for me even just standing up and preaching. It takes boldness. It took a lot of boldness for Joshua. And it's because God was so great and he was doing all this work for him. So the first thing is under the attitude while taking the land is being courageous. The second thing he says that I have here is to be focused. And it's very easy whenever we're executing a plan to wander off and do something completely not in God's plan, not in God's will. And it said right here in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to all that is written. That'll make your way prosperous. Many times in the Bible, it talks about the way to make to stay on the steady path before the Lord is to be strong in his word, right? That's just so foundational. Just to be in his word every day as much as you can, to be in his word. And same with Joshua. He didn't have the whole book that we have, you know, but he had to look at the books of the law from Moses and say, this is how God has acted. I'm going to continually meditate on this so that my way is clear, so that my way is straight, so I don't go to the right or to the left. And, you know, there are many different fears that they had. One of them was marrying Canaanite women, and they'd lead them off into idolatry, and then they'd start worshiping idols. And that's one of the things the Lord hates, cannot stand when people worship anything besides him, because he's the one true God. And so staying in the word, it was extremely important. And he says not just to stay in it, but he said you should meditate on it, you should think about it day and night, and it should also be in your mouth. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So it's really important, I think, to be in it every day, reading it, and not just to that, but to speak it to other people, to speak it out. And there's such power in the word of God. I don't know if anyone can relate to this, but when people give me a scripture in my life, just even a little scripture, there's so much power in that. It encourages me, it edifies me, it just helps me to stay focused in God. There was even this last week, I was studying in a little cafe, just kind of reading through the passage and kind of what it meant to me. And I had my Bible open on the table and a cup of coffee. And a guy walked in and he said, "That's a great book." And I said, "Yeah, I know. You know, I love reading it, and I'm teaching this Sunday. I'm going to share this Sunday." But I'm like, I always get anxious because I'm not really good at speaking up in front of people. And he said, "You shouldn't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, present your request to God." And it turns out he was like a fireman from, you know, down south, coming through town, and he just happened to be a Christian, and of course the Lord set that up, right? And of course he knew I'd have a little bit of anxiety in the moment. Completely encouraged me and helped me in the day, and that was just powerful, and that was from Philippians. There's been a lot of other things like that. People giving me scripture when it's departing from people's lips, and when I pick it up, that is powerful, and I realize it's just very, very strong. So be strong and courageous because God is a great God. Be focused, meditating on his word helps us stay close to God. Thinking his word and speaking his word out. There's power when you speak his word out. And these days, you know, everywhere you go, you hear all kinds of different truths. You know, recently I was doing a little bit of like street evangelism at UCSB, and I was out with another guy from my church who was actually, I was kind of just tagging along and like listening to what he was doing. And he was sharing with people, and all these students would come up to him and just come from all these different angles, have different truths, right? And they weren't biblically centered at all. They were just the world's truths. And I was just like, man, there are so many different types of truth out there. We really need to be centered in God's word so that we can discern right from wrong and what these people are saying. So we heard all these different truths as we were at UCSB doing the evangelism. So far, that's what we have is the plan. God gives them the plan. Attitude, have courage, be focused in God's word. Thirdly, and most importantly is in this entire passage, is that God is with you wherever you go. Good things happen when God is just present. The church I go to, we always like to just invite him in the room, you know, and to have him be here. You can just tell when he's here, when he's with you, when he's actually in the situation, working things out. And that's just such an appropriate way to end this section. He says, "Be strong and courageous. Don't tremble or be dismayed, because I am with you wherever you go." And that promise is something you always need to take with you, that God is always with you wherever you go. You go to work, you go to school, you go to classes. Whatever you're doing, God is with you wherever you go. And God loves that intimacy with us. In fact, he loves when his people want him there because they know they're inadequate. They know they can't do it, and so they have to lean upon him to be the strength. So those are my 3 points, the plan, the attitude while taking the land, and so having courage, being focused, being in God's word, and God is with you wherever you go. So the application really, firstly, when you read this passage, you see God's faithfulness. You see how he interacted with the nation of Israel. He never left them, even when they sinned. Even when they did things that were not right, he still had his promise for Abraham. He still did that with Israel, still made that happen. So God's faithfulness shines above all of this. He's faithful to those he loves and to those he chooses. And he just really enacts that in Joshua's life. The book of Joshua, it's really a good picture of the Christian life, if you think about it. A couple commentaries I was kind of looking at kind of mentioned this, is that under Moses, it kind of represented the nation of Israel under sin. You know, and they couldn't go to the promised land because sin, with our sin problem, we can't enter the promised land. That was not enough to save us. But Joshua came along, and he's a picture of Jesus, and he was Israel's, a type of Israel's savior, in terms of being not under law, but under the new command. So basically God wants us, all believers, to come out of bondage to sin into new life, freedom from sin in Jesus. And so that's what the book of Joshua is great. It's a picture of the Christian life. And of course, it's also how God wants us to face challenges. Listening for his plan, for what he's telling us, and executing it. Having courage and staying focused in his word. And most importantly, just remembering he is always with us. And that's what I have for this morning. So maybe I'll pray for us.